Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Hercules and the Space Gods. I am Hercules Invictus. Hercules and the Space Gods is a voyage of discovery that is currently unfolding through our podcasts on Mount Olympus and CERN, select chapters in Tim Beckley's paranormal anthologies, a variety of live and now Zoom events, and several articles published in various magazines over the past few years. Hercules and the Space God supports all of humanity's efforts to transcend this world and venture forth into the great beyond, be they metaphysical, mechanical, or even imaginal. And tonight, we will enter the metaphysical with E.T. Universal Zone. Now, E.T. Universal Zone with Mark and Phyllis Brinkerhoff. Greetings and welcome, Mark and Phyllis. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Thank you. We're great. Thank you, Hercules.
Thanks once again for doing this.
And thank you for doing this as well, and I'm looking forward to today's show. Do you have a special focus or topic for today?
Well, we had some a friend send some questions to us, and we were going to touch on the question a little there.
It might move
into some other areas, but this is something we thought people might be interested in because we've had other people ask us similar questions too in the past. And no, I don't have any guests and I don't have anybody on the phone waiting to
okay.
ask questions either.
I'll ask
so,
questions.
Phyllis. Oh, good. That'd be great. We can hit right away with our first question.
Well, just the first one that she sent.
This is from a friend named Donna.
Okay.
Number one question she asked is, are there really ascended masters? And should people follow them? Or should we follow the teachings of Christ? And our answer is, yes, there are ascended masters, beings that are ascended not only in our planet system but in others. And by the word ascended, it means that these beings who are ascended are not needing to have to come back to a physical dense life on a physical dense planet. It means that they're ascended over other realms or other planes of existence on the other side, as we would call it, the other side where the planes are, many planes, because we are, as our teachings go in space, what Phyllis and I know, and from where I come from, and I guess it's hard for people to kind of understand where I'm coming from when I came here before I came to Earth. And I come from planes that are higher above the 12th dimensions mm-hmm. or 12th planes. And it's not just dimensions within our first realm here in the first level. These are planes that are, in a way, when you think of them, people in the ancient teachings used to say there's seven planes around the planet Earth, or the seven planes that you ascend to, and after that, they don't go further. Back in 2,000, 3,000 years ago in teachings, or even 5,000 years ago in teachings, and so they said it corresponded with the seven chakras of the body. So this is ancient teachings, and they're correct in those times, because in those times, thousands and thousands of years ago, the realms were functioning well for the souls that were here on the planet at the time, and the seven chakra systems that are in the physical body, and there's other chakra frequencies within the joints as well, and there are chakras that were not seen in those times by the seers or those who had attained a certain level of understanding, didn't know and see the frequencies that were above the head of the soul, of the person standing in front of them, let's say. So they saw the crown and the third eye chakras opening. Above those crown chakra are there frequencies which go along with the spiritual bodies of the soul that's here at the time on the planet. So if they haven't attained certain thing levels and frequency and understanding, those lights wouldn't show up on those spiritual bodies. And they represent maybe higher self as well as connecting up and higher to the oversoul frequencies. It just doesn't mean that the oversoul is standing there, but it's the frequency that connects to them. And in our teachings on the high ships, where we do these teachings, we help them to understand that and activate in frequency the seed atom. And so this is a teaching we do, but this is on the off-planet cosmic and universal levels where we do these teachings. So the seven planes around the planet Earth represent what's around the auric energy of the frequency of a physical planet and other planets or other objects, even the sun or other physical realm space objects, let's say, moons, planets, Jupiter, and other planets in other solar systems.
Physical planets.
Yeah. There are seven frequencies or planes that go around these physical dense planets as an energy field, similar to the way a human has an aura and spiritual bodies within those aura, you know, like representing the plane spheres. So it's hard for me to explain this, and I don't want to sound like I'm an arrogant little brat or anything, but it's where I come from. I had no words to understand it when I was growing, but as I went out of body a lot and was going connecting to the over part aspect again, I was seeing it differently. And even in the fifth and sixth grade, I was coming back and talking about dimensions, more dimensions than we know. And as I got older, I also understood it was 12, and I was telling my father even that, 12 frequencies or dimensional spaces. And I meant beyond the seven that everybody knows about. So I'm coming only with teachings that I know from the craft where I come from, these higher Arcmana places. And it's not for everybody. Maybe people don't believe or understand, and it's okay. Just have to put it out there for the truth that I've known on this other side where I came from before I came here. And then when I go out of body or soul traveling, it's not astral projection, it's different. I go out there to the ships where I come from, where I'm connecting to my over part and over self. And in the body here, I am in higher self aspect, which is what Ingo Swann as well pointed out and saw, and a couple other psychics I knew in the 70s saw it, but they didn't tell anybody really. But Ruth Montgomery saw me as the walk-in that I was, so she knew that I was from a higher realm in space too as well. So the thing is I'm coming from the truth that we know in space, where we come from, me, including Phyllis and some other people we know on planet Earth now who've acknowledged this, that they've seen it with me in different ways. They haven't gone to that higher 12th place, but they've gone to the 9th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th levels and have seen things there. So when we talk about Sananda, we're not trying to be Christian in any way, because there is no religions in space. There's nothing like that out there. It's just the knowing and the knowledge of the Creator and the threefold Creator, which is hard for people to understand, so I might be able to try to explain that tonight a little bit.
Can I just jump in and say one thing?
Yeah.
The reason it's hard for people to understand is because they make the connection that it can only be through a dogmatic view, through dogmatic glasses, and we're here to say that's a limited view. That's what we're trying to express here without insulting anyone, because those people are beautiful people, and we'll get to pretty wonderful heavens. But they might be terrified of the concept of an extraterrestrial heaven because they're just not ready for that yet. you know, it's a little hard to explain it. But we get a little bit saddened that we get lumped in with dogmatic ideas when Mark's not dogmatic at all. And people also, if they don't know us or they're just hearing us for the first time, they probably don't even know why Mark is here. He didn't come in here to be a great avatar on the planet, this, that, and the other thing.
No.
He came in to rescue me because this is we're at the end of a 12,000-year cosmic cycle for the planet, and so there's going to be, you know, great chaos and, you know, extinction events that will be coming up, and we don't know, maybe the next 10, 20 years, something
yeah.
like that. And so he realized, we all realized up on the higher levels where he's with my oversoul, and you know, and I'm with his oversoul, and he's with my higher self. We're soulmates on those levels. And they knew that this was going to be an opportunity to get me off the planet once and for all.
This aspect known as me.
Because all of us down here have higher parts, you know, in different places.
Other galaxies.
You know, that we may or may not be aware of. You know, people like Hercules would be aware that he has higher
yeah.
aspects. But, you know, a lot of people don't even know what we're talking about right now as we're saying these types of things. But that's why he came in. He came in to get me. And while he was here, he was told by Sananda, he wasn't told to do anything. It was suggested
mm-hmm.
that it would be okay if he wanted to speak about the things that he knew, which is a whole lot different than saying, I came in with a great, you know, mission to do this, that, or the other thing, which would be a lie, and we don't lie.
No.
So the thing about Mark is that he's not going to tell you a lie, and feel free to reverse speech everything he says, and it might actually help a lot of you doubters out there as he's speaking.
If you know about reverse speech. one time I recorded me just talking for fun with our recorder that we had, because I had a reverse speech machine back in the 1990s, and for fun I was just walking around just speaking nonsense like the weather. But in my mind I thought for a moment about some of the extraterrestrial symbols I got from the High Realm up there on the ships. And this is back in 2015, maybe,
which
or 2014.
We have labeled omniversal symbols, and,
yeah.
and the book will be coming out.
Yeah,
but
we're
awesome.
Finishing it. Huh? And we got so many emails going, please finish the book. But there's so much information, it blows our minds when we see it, when I get what I get from the other guys up on the ships, I would say. And when I'm out there out of body, I go out there purposely to go get information and touch the symbols or see them on the walls and be recalled totally to come back home with it when I wake up. And they also are enlightening me with more information. Sometimes through my over part, I'll just ask, and that my other over self will go to the walls, be there, and I will be in tune. And what do we call it? The like lucid, lucid vision, remote viewing it. But I'm sitting there right there holding it, touching the wall and everything. And I experience the whole thing. And so I get information downloaded like that too.
And, but where you were going was with the reverse speech.
Yep, with reverse speech. I was walking in the living room one day and just nonchalantly talking into the tape recorder and thinking about the symbols, but mostly talking about nothing, random, just stuff.
And I can verify that. He was just speaking nonsense into the phone.
She was standing there. He was doing some ironing or something. And I said, blah, 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 the weather is, you know, whatever it's doing. And then, but when we reversed it for fun to see what would happen, just to see, because the subconscious will speak things through reverse speech, and we hear it in the forward speech. As you're recording it, taping it, then you're going to rewind it and go backwards with the recording. So you'll hear of your words going backwards. But in the reverse words will come forward speech words. And when I talked to the people who do the reverse speech in California at the time with David Oates, his partners or people there said, you're hearing not just the first sounds, the first words, which they call first forward speech. You're hearing different words? And I said, yeah, I'm hearing in another level. I can hear them, a noise like that comes through, and I can hear the other words being spoken slowly or speeded up. On their side, the subconscious works very quickly, so we'll hear it fast words. We have to slow the machine down to hear it in slower sounds so we can hear the words being said. But I would hear speaking going back and forth between Phyllis's over-self and myself, over-self. And they'll be speaking their names to each other. They'll be saying things like, I love you. It's so cute. I love you. And we weren't even saying that to each other while we were doing the reverse speech on the sofa, just talking back and forth.
No, actually, he's kind of lying right now because
what? No.
When that happened, we were actually fighting.
Oh, that was another time.
That we were literally fighting
arguing
with each other.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to reverse you right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Because I was just trying to get back at him at that moment in time.
And we were.
And I reversed him. I reversed us, and we were just telling each other how much we loved each
yep
other.
It was nothing about what we were talking about or fighting about, which was just stupid stuff.
Well, I guess we can't fight fate.
Yep. And David Oates used to say, don't reverse yourselves, couples, don't reverse yourselves fighting or angry. You would not want to hear what comes out because they usually curse each other out. Or something even awful comes out, according to David Oates. But what ours was, whatever we were cranking about, came out as our names being said to each other. She said, my name's Sarah, less in space. So she goes,
I don't like giving our names.
Nobody cares. That's my name. So she goes, Sarah, less. You know, and I said her name. And you can hear the difference in voices, which do not match Mark and Phyllis's voices on planet Earth, which cracked us up. I thought that was really interesting.
That's true.
It was not my Mark voice. It was another voice.
But we haven't gotten to the point of the reverse speech.
I'll get back to that. But this is just to show people that these things happen. There's amazing stuff. So when someone's lying about something on TV or anything, you're reversing them, it'll come out saying in reverse but in positive speech in the reverse as the wolf is at the door or negative sounds like the hawk is after me or something like that. They're all metaphors. And the wolf is at the door means they're coming for me. They know about me. They know that the wolf is at the door. When it's good stuff, a person is telling the truth, it'll come through with words like yes, yes, or I know, or yes, I believe, or whatever it'll say. It'll say positive things, confirming whatever the person was talking about on the reverse speech machine. So that day that I was just rambling around saying anything about anything, weather reports and stuff, when we reversed it, nothing about what I was speaking about was in the tape. In reverse, it came out as saying about the omniversal symbols. It was my voice as my over-self, not Mark voice, this voice. It was a different voice. And it says the symbols came through with the first systems.
Basically, they were created at the time of manifestation
of creations.
Of this creation. Of this
of the physical densities, I'd say, and all the densities. So Creator created these. The symbols weren't even created, but I don't even know how to explain it, except that they're thought form creation in light that manifests, that looks similar to shapes or lines of goodness and swirls or something.
Almost like shorthand in some ways.
And that's how we were trying to say maybe it's the shorthand of Creator, of the love of whatever that symbol represents a whole thought form of everything happening with it. So we have people have seen it on the website under Omniversal Symbol.
But we have actually never posted, on the symbols, we have never posted what we like to call the anatomy of a symbol. And when you look at the anatomy of a symbol, which will be in the book, we didn't want to tip our hand before the book was out. But when you look at the anatomy, every curve and every dot and every anything in the symbol itself has a profound meaning. It's actually kind of astonishing.
Yes, yeah. And so there's a symbol in the first symbol we have in the universal symbol is Praise Creator. That was the actual first symbol that I got. That was it. And it's in our website so people can use it. And it represents praise. It represents the infinite creator. It represents love. It represents many things. And yet when you draw it, it is like, and back and forth, you can go forward or backwards, whichever way, left to right, right to left. And it brings in a frequency of that Creator's love to us. But in the symbol, we are as souls, as the children of Creator, praising or giving thanks and gratitude to Creator. And there is a symbol for gratitude, too.
And also,
amazing.
As is all of creation, including the elemental angelic kingdom,
yes,
is also praising.
Yes. So when I was out in the park with our friend, your friend and my friend, Nick Kirtle, we were in the park a couple days ago, and playing with the birds, came over, and I took Nick to a special spot, and I drew in the sand on the ground a big symbol of the praise Creator, praise symbol to Creator. And that puts a frequency into the not only the dirt but on the ground as well as the area there for that. And this is what I was told to, we were told to do if we want to play. So we tell people, if you want, draw it on your friend's picture, draw it on your pet, draw it on a photograph, draw it on your door, your house, draw it on your car. And you
just
you could do that.
Just don't draw them on public property and blame us.
Well, you could draw with your fingers
right
together as the thumb touching your middle finger and your forefinger. So you may, instead of, that's your point. This is the way Yehoshua or Sananda told me to utilize that energy that comes from the body. You know how we have our energy field and people like to send energy or send thought energy and love? Well, in drawing that as a praise, we can draw it with those three fingers, and there's an energy comes from our, besides our soul. It's not like we're giving out our energy, but we're doing with love. We're sending energy in love, and we could send it with a direction like that coming through our right hand, and we draw the lines like the way we see it or whatever, and with the thought of that image and what it represents. And then you're sending that love through the image in your mind so it comes out of your hands as a frequency, and we're drawing it. So you could draw it in the air. You could draw it in the air on a building with your fingers like that, again, on your car. So this is how I was told to utilize the symbols or the frequency symbols here on the planet.
And we do not have any negative symbols. There are no negative symbols.
We loved the one we told you about last time, I think, maybe it was on our talk show with you, your talk show, we were on your show, where we talked about, Phyllis had asked me, can you find out if there's a symbol or something in space that represents spiritual warriors? And
yeah, I remember
when
that.
Remember that? And when I went to try to get to the information, I was in a car at Double Park. So I was sitting there, I just do my tune-up, and I was just sitting there going, well, just asking, is there anything up there on the high realms there that represents a symbol we can bring here for spiritual warriors? Cause, and that was it, right? Spiritual warrior, right? And instantly the answer was a little bit of a, well, we don't have wars on these high, on these realms. The wars are only on the lowest densities like we're on here. And a couple of the mid to low etheric, there'll be little battles. But they're always skirmishes. They're not heavy battles where they murder and kill people, but there's little things like that. Yeah, and there are some where there's wars, but it's on the lower mid-etheric. And I know a person that experienced it with me in past times. But so when they said, I said, oh, so what would we? What do you have? And they said, well, we would have the spiritual defender of truth. So I said, okay. And they showed me the symbol. And immediately, I see it through the eyes of my over soul, and I see it in art. I could just see it right there on the wall and on the ship's wall, and I see it, and it glows, and it embeds right away into my consciousness. So then I, sitting in the car with my pad, I see right now a glowing symbol within the third eye area of my forehead, and it sits there like a blackboard, a glowing white symbol, and I'm drawing it. So I test it, too. I do different things with them, too. I test them. I'll try to draw them differently. And this I found fascinating. I'll shut my eyes, hold my pad, draw the symbol with my eyes closed, just letting my hand do the whole thing. And then I open my eyes to see it. And it's exact, right? So I'll go, okay, I'm going to do it again. So I do it again. So then I said, I'm going to try something else. I'm going to try to stop it and draw it in a different direction, do something different. As soon as I try to, say, draw something, one of these symbols, in a different direction or stop and move it in a right or left way, my hand would automatically stop and the pencil would drop.
Wow.
So I said, wow, it's not just me. It's the over part working with you, you know, saying, nope, yeah, nope, that's not it. It would just stop. And I tested it many times with different symbols, and I told Phyllis how I would just nonchalantly do it. Oh, okay, oh god, yeah, no, my hand would stop, and the whole thing would just drop, pencil or pen, whatever I'm holding. So, to tell people about that was just that to say that reverse speech said the symbols came through with the first systems, blew our mind when we heard it.
Wow.
And they answered something we had been thinking about, wondering to ask, but we didn't ask.
But we had never actually asked that question.
No.
That, you have to ask questions to get answers. You know, that's another thing people, I don't think people appreciate the fact that you're literally given answers to any spiritual question that you ask or you think in a million different ways. But if you don't ask spiritual questions in your mind or whatever, however, out loud, they're not going to just download information to you, because, you know, it's sort of like the same idea of when the student is ready, the teacher appears, or something like that. It's like, if you're not going to ask a question, why would you be just given information for nothing? I mean, aside from the fact that maybe you had some kind of plan before you came in here. But generally speaking, you have to ask questions. And so I always said, probably a little arrogantly, that people are defined by the questions that they ask. It's like, oh, so we'll go back to that other question that we were talking about, which was the Ascended Master question, and we were discussing it earlier. And the fact is that, you know, there are Ascended Masters for people can utilize them. You know, people can seek information from Ascended Masters, but we don't know what levels they're operating off of. We don't know even what levels, you know, saints from any religion might be operating off of. We really don't know. You know, we could make assumptions that we think they're coming from the highest levels, but really, are they? Is anybody testing the spirits? So what we're suggesting is that why don't you just go to the highest level of consciousness instead of trying to get help from so-called ascended masters. You know, why don't you go directly to Creator?
Yep.
Why work with ascended masters?
But you can.
We don't understand that concept, and I was never drawn to that in the beginning anyway.
No, but I have met Kuthumi in 1976. Physically met him. He materialized, walked, was a physical person in shiny, brand new clothing. I'll say shiny, but it was just brand new.
You know, but before you go into that story, before you do that story, tell them how you know Kuthumi and who Kuthumi actually is to people on this planet and where he resides on the higher planes before you tell the story.
True. Kuthumi, the master that known as Kuthumi now, was the same person who was St. Francis of Assisi. And he came back. He probably didn't have to come back. You know, this is the thing. He came back, and he came back through to being Kuthumi, known as Master Kuthumi now, I guess, in maybe Tibet and areas like that. He can probably be still seen in Tibet and can come through dimensions.
Okay, that just made me think of a question, okay? And I'll let you get to the other story. Remember that St. Francis of Assisi would have been a Catholic saint, okay?
Mm.
Just hold that in your mind for a second. And so Kuthumi comes back in a Tibetan sense, so he's coming back with more Eastern type of
he came back as another aspect, yeah. Right.
So he's coming back in, but he's like not coming back as a dogmatic religion.
No.
He's coming back with a little bit more of an idea of, let's say, I'm sure reincarnation would be part of that thought process. So here we have what we think, you know, people could argue with us about that. So St. Francis comes back and all of a sudden doesn't come back as another Catholic saint. Now, I'm not hitting the Catholics because I was raised Catholic and, you know, for many, many, many years, and I have nothing against them. I just want to put that out there before everybody gets mad at me. But, you know, and I love them, and they're they're magnificent. But the bottom line is, you know, dogma is dogma, you know, wherever you might find it in any religion, whether it's, you know, you know, Christianity, you know, Hinduism, you know, pick a religion.
Mm.
Pick a religion. We're not following religions. But I just think it's interesting that St. Francis comes back as a Kusumi.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just kind of contemplate that for 2 seconds and then tell them where he resides on, you know, because sometimes, let's say, you're thinking, oh, all the ascended masters have ascended to the highest levels of consciousness, and I disagree with that completely. Would you say that's true, to disagree with that completely, that all ascended masters are completely,
yeah,
totally ascended?
Not they're ascended to get beyond the planes where they actually, if need to, have to come back to reincarnate again. That's what it means. They've just ascended to levels where they don't have to come back to incarnate again on a planet. And that's how we see it in the high, on the other realms. So even though they're off planet or ascended in a way of frequencies and light on the other side, they could still come back and help people here through, they can materialize a body if they need to, like some people have seen. We have a friend who's in Long Island who told us a story. But she told us they were in a highway driving, and she saw on the side of the road walking Master Kusumi in the outfit that would be of the Tibetan-looking outfit with the hat and everything people had seen with the beard. And that was, he's walking on the side of the highway coming towards the car that they were driving. Let's say they're driving north, he's walking south. So she's saying to people, do you see that? Do you see him? Do you see him? And as the car goes by, she made eye contact, and you smile, and then the car goes by still, they're still driving, and she turned around, and he's still walking. When they turn around again, nobody's on the highway. He's gone. So sometimes these teachers will do that. They'll come through, show themselves a little bit, see if you see them. And it would just been for them in that car, probably. Anybody else in the other cars might not have seen anybody walking by. And that, when he did, I mean, when I was a child and I talked with animals or had these experiences with animals since I was 5 and everything, my grandmother used to say to me, oh, St. Francis must be with you. And I didn't know what she meant. And she said, well, he talked to animals. And I said, oh, maybe that's the person I talk with who gives me suggestions on how to telepathically mind talk with the animal. I didn't have a word telepathic as a child. I called it mind speak. I didn't have a word for it. So I called it I'm mind speaking with the fish. And I'd have fish swimming around me in circles, and I could pick them up with my hands. So this was happening to me. So I thought, oh, and then she showed me a little picture of St. Francis. Well, that's not how I saw him. But I got, oh, he's a saint. Okay, so she was teaching me about a saint. But where I come from, the being known as St. Francis, is my friend. And even out of body one time with him, we went to a place in the solar system, the galaxy, this galaxy, and we were going to a different place. I was going to give a little bit of a talk on that side, let's say the 10th realm, realms and 9th realm, 9th planes. So I can't talk about the information there, where we went. It's not supposed to be known yet. Someday I will. But he said to me, I said to him, oh, I know. You were St. Francis. He goes, I was St. Francis. I said, oh, yeah. So now he's a being who looks like a space being with long hair and dark hair. He has dark hair on the ship and where I was. So he's his overpart, let's say, his higher overpart. So the aspects are put down, right? So St. Francis was his aspect. Now, Kusumi is another of the same being's aspects. Now, on a live walking, he can walk the planet right now. But I know he's ascended. I know that. And when he materialized to me in actually Katona, New York, upstate, when he appeared, I didn't know who was standing. I was in a store, and somebody came in the door, and I felt the energy of Christ behind me. I actually was thinking, it feels like Yehoshua just stood behind me somewhere. When I turned around, there's a guy standing there. He's about 6'2", maybe, or 3. And he was dark beard, long dark hair, glossy, shiny hair, just beautiful, beautiful. And the clothing he was wearing was brand new, like it came out of a mannequin store window. I noticed that And I thought, that's interesting. Shoes. He had work boots on. But anyway, telepathically, I said to him, wow, I said, you're beautiful. Thank you. I love you. Because the energy was like Christ, even though I know that wasn't Christ. But when these beings are on these high realms, the energy of the Christ fills them and fills them. That's the love of Creator. That's the Christ energy everybody talks about. So he had that love, and he telepathically kind of said to me a feeling of thanks, and he dipped his head forward like, got, you know, I saw you, I heard you. He just like shook his head once, like, hello, you know, and he smiled. Then he took a right. I was standing by some hardware store stuff. So it was like shelves of hardware things on a couple of shelves of nails and screws and all kinds of things. And I was just standing there because I was waiting for somebody else who was getting something in the store for a party. And I thought to myself, he heard me. That guy heard me. He looks like a space person. He looks like I was saying everything I could think of. He looks like a being, you know, a teacher, or, you know, angelic as well. And then I heard telepathically, look up. And between the shelves, I looked up. Again, I'm not really super tall. He was tall. So I'm looking up between the shelves, about 2 feet up, and he's smiling there. And I said to him telepathically, you heard me. I love you. Thank you. I love you. In telepathy, I was saying that. Again, he smiled and shook his head. And he took He took a left to go back. So I stood down and looked at the shelves and stuff that was on the shelves, and I just said, he did hear me. Then the girl that I was waiting for, getting her supplies, comes up to stand on the line. And I went over to, I said to her, do you see that guy over there? Because he was suddenly online, in front, getting at a register. And I saw the register ring up 12 cents. And I saw him hand something, said read 12 cents, but meanwhile he was doing this, he was just turned with his head looking at me, smiling, and love coming from him. So I said, do you see that guy over there? She goes, yeah. I said, what do you see? She goes, just a guy. I said, just a guy? You don't see that guy, like, brand new, you know, like, long hair? She goes, no, she only saw a guy. So that means that they project what they want us to see. And I've been told that by the space people, too, but he projected to me the way he looks on the realms that we work around planet Earth as Master Kathumi. His energy was, like, incredible, beautiful. So I said, well, I'm going to go follow him. So she goes, okay. And I said, meet me at the car. So she goes, all right. So she's online. He takes the package from the guy that rung it up, puts it in his shirt pocket, which was a blue plaid work shirt, smiles, turns, goes to the door, and there were two doors. You had to go through the first door and then a little second door to get to the sidewalk. So he goes to the first door, and he's already leaving the second door while I'm going through the first door. I get out on the sidewalk. He took a left. I come out. There's nobody on the sidewalk anywhere in front of me, any place. And it was a Sunday. And it was in Katona, New York, in town. So the trains weren't there, but there was nothing there. So I laughed. As soon as I got out the door, I heard in my head telepathically from the crew, that was it. And I said to them, you tricked me. You got me. Because they always get me when I don't expect it. So what did they get me with? And what was that was it? So that was it. Was because I was on a school field about within 2 weeks and a half, and the following week, every time I would go out to the field, once in a while, I would say to the crew,
"Yeah, but the thing,
are you going
to
send
somebody
here?"
You have to say when you go out to the field, sky watching, because they don't know why you're going.
Oh, I would go to the field and sky watch around 3 a.m. in the morning, up in Mayapak, and I would say to them sometimes, I would say, "Hey, are you going to send somebody to say hello to me? Because it's been about a long time. Like at that time, I was about 24, maybe." Or 23 or so, and the last time I'd had an encounter physical with them was when I was in my teens. So I said that to them that night, one night, and then the next couple nights I would say it again. I'd bring it up nonchalantly and go, gee, just when you're just wondering if you feel like it, you know, send someone, say hello to me. That's all I would say. I would always put it nonchalant. It's like your will and not mine. I don't care. It'd be great if you could, but I'm not holding you to it. So that day with Kathumi, since he is from space, he is one of the crews and those people, he shows up, and that's when he left. And when I came out the door, I got hit with white light, and that was your contact that moment. That was your test. So that's what I knew. So I went up to that night, that was it. I went to the school field that night, and I thanked them for the test. It was fun. I liked it. I said, did I pass? That was my main thing. Did I pass? They said, as long as you respond with love and with the telepathy with love and acknowledgement, even though you can't speak to the person, because, you know, I wanted to speak to him, but I kept feeling funny. You know, like you want to go up and say, hey, were you just talking to me telepathically? And are you one of those guys from, you know, Master or this or that from space? That's the thing that stops us. Because even when I had the encounter in the park, I kept being stopped to say what I was trying to think and say. I was saying, who sent you? Where'd you come from? And I would be blocked, and he would push the thoughts behind me in the back of my head, like, not important right now. So this is the game that these space people can play with the test with us. It's not a game. It's just a test to see if we're hearing and thinking and sending out good thoughts. So to get back to Kuthumi, he is an aspect of the Oversoul that is that being that was St. Francis and other times in space. And he's a friend. So knowing that these masters, we'll call them for now, masters can do this, they can materialize and appear, like our friend saw in Long Island. She was upstate New York when she saw that in the road on the highway. This happens to people. They will say, well, I had a materialization of St. Francis or Padre Pio, which has occurred at St. Padre Pio, maybe Kuthumi, maybe Master Moria, and I've met these people on the other realm, yet they're always in the Tibet area. So if you're out of body and you're heading towards the Tibet area, you might meet up with these teachers. So are they ascended in the highest ascension? I can't say yes, I know Kuthumi is, because I know him on those higher realms. I haven't seen some of these other master teachers on those other realms. I've only seen them on the sixth and fifth realms around planet Earth, Moria and the others, some of the others. Kuan Yin, she's really well known. She's fantastic. Again, she's on the realms around the planet as well as teaching. And these people are not to be worshipped as gods or goddesses. That would be a false god. They're not to be bowed to, like you don't bow to an angel. So you only bow to, if you're going to bow to anybody, you're bowing to the infinite creator. And that's, your soul will do that automatically, even if you're not aware of yourself being there, like you're out of body and you say, whoa, what am I doing? And your body will start to bend forward when your creator's presence shows or Sananda's presence shows. So people shouldn't be creating false idols out of these teachers and masters, as well as any beings from ancient times. You know, they can't make a false idol out of anybody, any of the teachers, including our friends that we know, Hercules, you, Apollo, any of these beings, and they're on those realms. They're incredible teachers.
And I want to develop a whole topic, but you're very, very right.
Yeah, you don't bow to these guys or the girls, you know. They're teachers, they're working there, and they have certain things that they are in charge of and certain planet systems they might be working with. So as children on planet Earth, as young souls, maybe they're saying, I came from Mars. But, you know, Mars is a beautiful planet, and to give it a negative connotation always bothered us on the higher realm of the ship. Because it was like, this is a good planet. It went through stuff, it's challenged, it had problems like planet Earth had. But we shouldn't give it a negative, say, Mars the warrior. You know, on another realm, it's not known as Mars. But, you know, we'll just not go there. But it's funny how the children on the planets that are growing will give names and information to things that they believe, which they are worshiping in their belief. You know, it's like the sun is the only thing. Or they were worshiping the creator through the sun, or giving a being the power of the sun. You know, this is where they were faulted, but they were innocent. So,
well, you know,
they were
more primitive.
This
planet had, well, who knows how many times we've reached a level of higher consciousness and fallen back into the Stone Age again. Depending, you know, it's every.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that's why
numbers of thousands of years.
Thousands of years, hundreds, million years.
But the main message is, you know, stop incarnating back to these first level planets. I mean, it's not good for your health. It's not good for your spiritual health, and it's not good for your physical health. And if you get into a situation where you land up being merged with artificial intelligence and you get to extend your life for thousands and thousands of years or indefinitely, you've basically effectively created an eternal soul trap for yourself. So, you know, people better think about things before they long for them.
Yeah, right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but as you think these things, they will come towards us, you know, like people focusing on hate and fear and anger, it brings it towards us in frequency. That's true. All that is true. We can overcome it with the infinite creator and thy will, not ours, be done, and ask for thy will, not our will, but the creator's will, to come through to work with us.
Well, I think you also should just explain again, because I do feel that this is one of the most important points of what's going on these faster frequencies where you're coming in from. It's everything that is going on up there, which everybody on this planet, including everybody, that if they got to that level, they would be stunned, because it's not about how much Creator can do for me. It's about how much we can do for Creator. And it's not about how much power we can, you know, grow into. You know, that's a very dangerous thought process. And that's really what's going on everywhere, where people have begun to feel, oh, you know, I'm a sovereign being. Yeah, of course you're sovereign, but you're not higher than the Creator, and you don't merge to become, you know, one with the Creator. That's not what's going on, and we know that at the highest levels. I wouldn't have known that in this lifetime, but I was lucky enough that Mark came back to get me, so I learned all of these types of concepts. And this is a dangerous concept that's being promoted throughout, you know, a lot of non-traditional, places, concepts. I don't like using the word New Age, but it does land up being the concept of the New Age. So when we're on these highest levels of consciousness, we're just simply working to do the will of what Creator tells, you know, asks us to do. It doesn't tell us to do anything, but it requests that we do things. And that could amount to, you know, going and watching saving a planet from a supernova. You know, I don't, you know, the types of things that go on in these ideas of levels, when you get to these highest levels, is incomprehensible to most of us down here. But we're still doing the will, and that's what we request to be. We request to be operating in the will of the Most High. We don't try to overwhelm the will of the Most High with our greatness and how wonderful we are to merge with it. You know, it's a kind of a confused concept down here when we're trying to straighten out that crooked line, but I don't know if it's possible.
Yeah, I know. And some of the things, one of the questions that our friend asked was also, should we follow the teachings of Christ, and what are the Christ teachings on, are universal, omniversal. They're not just on planet Earth. And the souls should follow the teachings of the Christ, and they're the true blueprint for the physical people or physical souls when they're turning physical to follow on the first level, dense physical planets and lower dimensions, as well as planets throughout the endless galaxies within the omniverse. This is the dense level, and these teachings that were brought in when Yehoshua walked the planet are the teachings on these other realms that we have. So it's the Creator, and it's the love of Creator, and it's doing loving each other as brothers and sisters, and as each you would want to be loved by another person or helped by another. It's all that. And loving with your mind, body, soul, you know, thoughts, everything to the infinite Creator. So this is the way we, as a physicals, we're walking on a planet densely like this. We are, with our mind to the infinite Creator, we are giving praise and love to the infinite Creator. And people say, hey, why does the Creator need that praise? Why does it need us to praise it? It really doesn't need us. It's the infinite Creator. But, you know, as little souls, we're the little children of the Infinite One. And I've said to Phyllis many times, I said, you know, when you think of the Infinite Creator beyond what your mind can ascend to and think of, we are like dust mites. We're like dust mites. Yet it loves all of us, all of us and the dust mites too, you know, everything. And you think and you're fathoming it, right? And the love that this being, this essence, this always is, always was, always has been being. And we can't fathom it because even when I've asked, they said, there's no way to answer that because all of us throughout creation have tried to fathom it. But the creator is the creator, always was, always is, now and has been. And we're saying, but I'm living on planet Earth right now. But it's always been, even before you were on this planet. So even when you're past times and other places and galaxies, you've known this on the higher realms as oversouls. We know that. So the love is pure. And on the high realms and where we are as oversouls, the 12th and beyond, 24th, 5th, 44th dimensional spaces, our mind is one in loving with the praise of the infinite creator. We just adore the creator. It's our beloved. And all of us there as souls and friends and family, let's say family because we've had times with each other in other places. And when they talk about soul groups, it's kind of true that the oversouls, they are together in group forms too because we have many friends we've made since the beginnings. So we are in groups. And when you meet another soul or another oversoul, we'll call it that, a soul from another galaxy, another universal space, once you meet them for the first time maybe, you go, oh, and then all of a sudden you know who they are. You know what they've gone through. And then you might know if you've ever met them in another galaxy or another solar system in a frequency realm of high etheric or just in those realms we hang. They're so beautiful realms. But from working on the physical densities, you will know when you've met souls. And Hercules, have you ever met somebody on planet Earth now, let's say, at this time in your life now?
I'm
on planet Earth now, not
I
another past life.
I met actually back in the 70s also in Central Park West. I don't remember
okay,
the exact street, but it was Kutumi.
Between
the 70s and the 90s on Central Park West. It was somewhere in that area I was walking around, and I saw Kutumi and... there was a brief interaction, and Moria many times in several different guises throughout my life with Moria.
Yeah. I've seen him on the other realms and talked with them there, or telepathically we talked to them, and they're beautiful, unbelievable, just beautiful beings. But Hercules, okay, we're talking Earth now, this life now. Have you ever met a person, doesn't matter where, that you felt you've known all your life, but you just met him for the first time?
Oh, yes.
Or her?
Yes, many, many times. And sometimes if we get into a conversation, which doesn't happen all the time, but it happens sometimes, it turns out that sometimes we met in the realm of dreams, because we'll get on the topic of dreams, and we have similar places that we've been in dreams. One person that I met even gave me one of my names that I was using. I'm not here on this realm, but in realms accessible through dream. And that's always a great thing when you get that spark of recognition. Sometimes you can't tell, you can't place where you know that person, but you do know that person.
Yes, yeah. And that's happened to Phyllis and me. And I think I've told the story once a long time ago, but it happened to me around 2012 or 2010 or 2011, something like that. But I was at a meeting down at our friend's
Meta Center.
It used to be on
29th
Street or so. And it was a gathering after somebody gave a lecture. So we were all just there, Phyllis and I were there, and they're hanging. And this guy is standing with some other people, and he's turning, and he's looking towards me. And I looked towards him, and I felt like, huh, I know that guy. So I wandered over, and he came towards me, and we're talking, and just talking about all kinds of things, just regular things. It's like you're talking with somebody you've always known, right?
Yeah.
You say, how you been? Oh, okay, fine, how you doing? I'm right. And as we're talking, it's coming to my mind. I'm looking at the guy, and I'm trying to say, where do I know him from in my mind? I'm saying, where do I know you from in my head? Now, he was doing the same thing to me because he had that look on his face, too. Like, we were talking, and he's, like, looking puzzled, right? So I said, well, wait a minute. We stopped talking. I said, well, were you visiting here before? Were you here at these meetings before? Have I seen you here at these meetings before? He says, no. I went, okay. And he says, well, I thought I met you at a party. And I went, yeah. but here? He goes, no. I said, so then he goes, I've never been here before. This is my first time. I come from Germany.
It's
my first trip to America. So how does that make any sense? So as soon as he said that, he said party. I said, oh, I know where you met me at the party on the spaceship. And he's like, what? So I told him, and he goes, well, wait a minute. I do have these dreams that are strange, and I was at parties. So he does remember parties in dream states that are lucid. So I told him what happened, because that's how I was meeting many of the people I met here on planet Earth, like you and everybody else. So we meet in the ships out there with our
right.
overparts, and then we connect, and they show us, oh, here's you're going to go on Earth. You're going to see these people here or that. And that day that I was on the ship back a long time ago, probably around 2002 or 3, it was we're having a party. They looked like a party. They told me, well, we're going to surprise you with something. So I said, oh, good. So I get to the doors, and before they opened the doors like Star Trek, they said, people here are out of body from Earth, and they're going to think they're at a party. So when you're talking to them, remember that, but they don't recognize you, but as you, as me, as my other part, they'll see me more to recognize Mark. That's how they're going to recognize me. So I said, okay, because I was in my other body form. So they said, know that they're out of body, but these are people that will be people you'll meet in the future, and they will recognize you or feel they recognize you or want to come over and talk to you or something like that. So that's what happened. When I went to the party,
Mark,
I saw them.
We need to start wrapping up. We only have a couple of minutes left, and I'd like you to share your
contact. Oh, I didn't see it.
However, are
okay.
you free on Tuesday? Are you in full screen on Tuesday?
Tuesday. Can we just look at the calendar?
We can
are
do
we
it
free
after
on
the
Tuesday?
Show. We can do it after the
Probably.
Show.
Oh, okay.
Okay. If you're free, I'm going to invite you on. I had a cancellation, and I'd really like to get to the gods and what you were talking about earlier. So I will let you know later tonight. But how can people get in contact with you? I'm really glad you're writing the book, and I'm looking forward to it coming out. And how can people enter your world?
Okay, guys. I hope I answered some of our friends' questions. We are on intergalacticmission.com. That's a website. And there's a contact there and all that. You can contact us on the email markbrinkerhoff@yahoo.com.
Also, and on the intergalactic page, I've put a link to the ET Universal Zone. So
yes.
All of the shows that we're doing, we're putting in the archives on the ET Universal Zone new site that
yes.
I created for us. And also, if you forget everything, you can always just go to markbrinkerhoff.com, his art site, and then there are links on that site that will take you to Intergalactic. And also, you can just go to Facebook and put in Mark Brinkerhoff, and you can find Mark on Facebook.
Yes. Yes, sir. I forgot almost Facebook.
And
yeah.
to get in contact with him, it's just markbrinkerhoff@yahoo.com.
Yes. That's it, Hercules. That's us.
And you're awesome.
And Phyllis sees my
and
email,
awesome.
So you guys are too.
You're here, and you guys are fantastic, and you're opening up doors to higher worlds, and that's a very awesome thing. Bless you and bless your mission.
Bless you.
And bless everybody who's tuned in tonight, whether you listen to us live, whether you called in, there was a caller, or whether you're going to listen to us later on demand. In the interim, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures, and we're going to close with the ET Universal Zone music in the few seconds we have left.
Adonai Vasubragas, everybody.
Okay. I'll see you very soon. Thank you.
Thank
Good night.
You.
Good night.
We love you guys.
Love you.
Love you too.
Bless weekend.
Bye.